A Prologue Showing the Use of the Scripture by William Tyndale. Though a man had a precious jewel, and a rich, yet if he wist not the value thereof, nor wherefore it served, he were neither the better nor richer of a straw. Even so, though we read the Scripture and babble of it never so much, yet if we know not the use of it, and why it was given, and what it is therein to be sought, it profiteth us nothing at all. It is not enough, therefore, to read and to talk of it only, but we must also desire God day and night instantly to open our eyes, and to make us understand and feel why the Scripture was given, that we may apply the medicine of the Scripture, every man to his own sores, unless that we intend to be idle disputers and brawlers about vain words, ever gnawing upon the bitter bark without, and never attaining unto the sweet pith within, and persecuting one another for defending of lewd imaginations and fantasies of our own invention. Paul, in the third of the second epistle to Timothy, saith that the Scripture is good to teach, for that ought men to teach and not dreams of their own making, as the Pope does, and also to improve, for the Scripture is the touchstone that trieth all doctrines, and by that we know the false from the true. And in the sixth to the Ephesians, he calleth it the sword of the Spirit, because it killeth hypocrites, and uttereth and improveth their false inventions. And in the 15th to the Romans, he saith, all that are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That is, the examples that are in the Scripture comfort us in all our tribulations, and make us to put our trust in God, and patiently to abide his leisure. And in the 10th of the 1st of the Corinthians, he bringeth in examples of the Scripture to fear us, and to bridle the flesh, that we cast not the yoke of the law of God from off our necks, and fall to lusting and doing of evil. So now, this Scripture is a light, and showeth us the true way, both what to do and what to hope, and a defense from all error, and a comfort in adversity, that we despair not, and feareth us in prosperity, that we sin not. Seek therefore in this Scripture, as thou readest it, first the law, what God commandeth us to do, and secondarily, the promises which God promises us again, namely in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then seek examples, first, of comfort, how God purges all of them that submit themselves to walk in his ways, in the purgatory of tribulation, delivering them yet at the latter end, and never allowing any of them to perish that cleave fast to his promises. And finally, note the examples which are written to fear the flesh, that we sin not. That is how God suffereth the ungodly and wicked sinners that resist God and refuse to follow him, to continue in their wickedness, ever growing worse and worse, until their sin be so sore increased and so abominable that if they should longer endure, they would corrupt the very elect. But for the elect's sake, God sendeth them preachers. Nevertheless, they hardened their hearts against the truth, and God destroys them utterly and begins the world anew. Seek therefore in the scripture, as you read it, chiefly and above all, the covenants made between God and us. That is to say, the law and commandments which God commands us to do. And then the mercy promised unto all them that submit themselves unto the law. For all the promises throughout the whole of Scripture do include a covenant. That is, God binds himself to fulfill that mercy unto you only, if you will endeavor yourself to keep his laws, so that no man has his part in the mercy of God, except he only that loves his law and consents that it is righteous and good, and fain would do it, and ever mourneth, because he now and then breaketh it through infirmity, or does it not so perfectly as his heart would. And let love interpret the law, that you understand this to be the final end of the law, and the whole cause why the law was given, even to bring you to the knowledge of God, how that he has done all things for you, that you might love him again with your whole heart, and your neighbor for his sake, as thyself and as Christ loved thee. Because thy neighbor is the Son of God also, and created unto his likeness as you are, and bought with as dear blood as you are. Whosoever feels in his heart that every man ought to love his neighbor as Christ loved him, and consents thereunto, and enforces to come thereto, the same only understandeth the law correctly, and can interpret it. And he that submitteth not himself in the degree he is in, to seek his neighbor's profit, as Christ did his, can never understand the law, though it be interpreted to him. For that love is the light of the law, to understand it by. And now, behold, how righteous, how honest, how due a thing it is by nature that every man love his neighbor unfeignedly, even as himself, for his father's sake. The father's capitalized. For it is the father's, this one isn't capitalized, it is the father's great shame and his high displeasure if one brother hurt another. If one brother be hurt of another, he may not avenge himself, but must complain to his father or to them that have authority of his father to rule in his absence. Even so, if any of God's children be hurt by any of his brethren, he may not avenge himself with hand or heart. God must avenge. And the governors and ministers of the law that God has ordained to rule us by concerning our outward conversation of one with another, they must avenge. If they will not avenge, but rather maintain wrong and be oppressors themselves, then we must wait patiently till God come, which is always ready to reap tyrants off the face of the earth as soon as their sins are ripe. Consider also what wrath, vengeance, and plagues God threatens to them that are rebellious and disobedient. Then, go to and read the stories of the Bible for your learning and comfort, and see everything practiced right before your eyes. For according to those examples, shall it go with thee and all men until the world's end. So that into whatsoever case or state a man may be brought, according to whatsoever example of the Bible it be, his end shall be according as he there sees and reads. As God there warns before he smites, and suffers long before he takes extreme vengeance, so shall he do with us. As they that turn are there received to mercy, and they that maliciously resist perish utterly, so shall it be with us. As they that resist the counsel of God perish through their own counsel, so shall it be with us until the world's end. As it went with their kings and rulers, so shall it go with ours. As it was with their common people, so shall it be with ours. As it was with their spiritual officers, and so it shall be with ours. As it was with their true prophets, and so shall it be with ours until the world's end. As they had ever, as they always had among them false prophets and true, and as their false persecuted the true and moved the princes to slay them, and so shall it be with us until the end of the world. As there was among them but a few true-hearted to God, so shall it be among us. And as their idolatry was, so shall ours be until the end of the world. All mercy that is shown there, that is in the Bible, is a promise unto thee, if you turn to God. And all vengeance and wrath showed there is threatened to you, if you be stubborn and resist. And this learning and comfort shalt thou always find in the plain text and literal sense. Neither is there any story so homely, so rude, yea, or so vile, as it seems outwardly, wherein it is not exceeding great comfort. And when some, which seem to themselves great clerks, say, they wot not what more profit is in many jests of Scripture, if they be read without an allegory, than in a tale of Robin Hood, say thou, that they were written for our consolation and comfort, that we despair not if such like happen unto us. We be not holier than Noah, though he were once drunk, neither better beloved than Jacob, though his own son defiled his bed. We be not holier than Lot, though his daughters through ignorance deceived him, nor peradventure holier than those daughters. Neither are we holier than David, though he broke wedlock and upon the same committed abominable murder. All those men have witnesses of the Scripture, that they pleased God and were good men, both before those things that chanced them and also after. Nevertheless, such things happened to them for our example, not that we should counterfeit their evil, but if while we fight with ourselves, enforcing to walk in the law of God, as they did, we yet fall likewise, that we despair not, but come again to the laws of God and take better hold. We read, since the time of Christ's death, of virgins that have been brought under the common stews and there defiled, and of martyrs that have been bound and whores have abused their bodies. Why? The judgments of God are bottomless. Such things chance partly for themselves. Partly God, through sin, heals sin. Pride can never be healed, nor yet appear, but through such horrible deeds. Peradventure they were of the Pope's sect, and rejoiced fleshly, thinking that heaven came by deeds and not by Christ, and that the outward deed justified them and made them holy, and not the inward spirit received by faith and the consent of the heart unto the law of God. As thou readest, therefore, think that every syllable, that is every syllable in the Bible, pertains to your own self, and suck out the pith of the scripture, and arm yourself against all assaults. First note, with the strong faith, the power of God in creating all out of nothing. Then mark the grievous fall of Adam, and of us all in him, through the light regarding of the commandment of God. In the fourth chapter, God turneth him unto Abel, and then to his offering, but not to Cain and his offering. Where thou seest that though the deeds of the evil appear outwardly as glorious as the deeds of the good, yet in the sight of God, which looks on the heart, the deed is good because of the man, and not the man good because of his deed. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, God sends Noah to preach to the wicked and gives them space to repent. They wax hard-hearted. That is, they grew hard-hearted. Not Noah, but the people. They grew hard-hearted. God brings them to nothing, and yet saves Noah, even by the same water which he destroyed them. Mark also what followed the pride of the building of the Tower of Babel. Consider how God sends forth Abraham out of his own country into a strange land full of wicked people, and gave him but a bare promise with him that he would bless him and defend him. Abraham believed, and that word saved and delivered him in all perils. So that we see how that man's life is not maintained by bread alone, as Christ saith, but much rather by believing the promises of God. Behold how soberly and how circumspectly both Abraham and also Isaac behave themselves among the infidels. Abraham buys that which might have been given him for nothing, to cut off occasions. That is, the tomb, the field of Pila. Isaac, when his wells, which he had dug, were taken from him, he gave them room and didn't resist. Moreover, they ear and sow and feed their cattle and make confederations and take perpetual truce and do all outward things, even as they do which have no faith. For God hath not made us to be idle in this world. Every man must work godly and truly to the uttermost of the power that God hath given him, and yet not trust in them therein, but rather in God's word or promise. And God will work with us and bring that we do to good effect. And then when our power will extend no further, God's promises will work all alone. How many things also resisted the promises of God to Jacob? And yet Jacob conjureth God with his own promises, saying, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, which saidst unto me, return unto thine own country, and unto the place where thou wast born, and I will do thee good. I'm not worthy of the least of those mercies, nor of that truth which thou hast done to thy servant. I went out but with a staff, and came home with two droves. Deliver me out of the hands of my brother Esau, for I fear him greatly, etc. And God delivered him, and will likewise all that call unto his promises with a repenting heart, were they never so great sinners. Mark also the weak infirmities of the man. He loved one wife more than another, and one son more than another, and see how God purges him Esau threateneth him. Laban beguiled him. The beloved wife is long barren. His daughter is ravished. His wife defiled. And that of his own son. Rachel dies. Joseph is taken away. Yea, and as he supposed, torn wild beasts. And yet, how glorious was his end. Note the weakness of his children, yea, and the sin of them, and how God, through their own wickedness, saved them. These examples teach us that a man is not at once perfect the day he begins to live well. They that be strong, therefore, must suffer with the weak, and help to keep them in unity and peace with one another, until they be stronger. Now, note what the brethren said when they were cast in Egypt. We have verily sinned, said they, against our brother. In that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, but would not hear him. And therefore is this tribulation come upon us. By which example you see how that conscience of evil doings finds men out at the last. But, namely, in tribulation and adversity, there temptation and also desperation, yea, and the very pains of hell will find us out. There the soul feeleth the fierce wrath of God, and we wish mountains to fall upon us and hide us, if it were possible, from the angry face of God. Mark also how great evils follow of how little an occasion. Dinah goes forth alone to see the daughters of the country, and how great mischief and trouble followed then. Jacob loved but one son more than another, and how grievous murder followed in their hearts. These are examples for our learning, to teach us to walk warily and circumspectly in the world of weak people, that we give no man an occasion to do evil. Finally, see what God promised Joseph in his dreams. Those promises accompanying him always, and went down with him even into the deep dungeon, and brought him up again, and never forsook him till all that was promised was fulfilled. These are examples written for our learning, as Paul saith, to teach us to trust in God in the strong fire of tribulation and purgatory of our flesh, and that they which submit themselves to follow God should note and mark such things, for their learning and comfort is the fruit of the Scripture and why it was written. And with such a purpose, to read it is the way to everlasting life and to those joyful blessings that are promised unto all nations of the seed of Abraham, which seed is Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be honor and praise forever, and unto God our Father through him. Amen.